I wonder if you remember where you were. Where you were in the wee hours of Saturday, June the 17th, 1972. Now, right away, a lot of you are going, I wasn't even born yet. I don't think my parents were even born yet. Saturday, June 17, 1972. It was a time in the nation's life when the Vietnam War was raging, when protests against that war were getting new momentum and wider and wider and louder participation. It was a time in our country's history when the presidency itself was on shaky ground. Challenges to that were gaining momentum. It was on that day in June 72 when burglars broke into a hotel room in Washington, D.C., into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee, into the communication space there where they had intent to bug or to wiretap the phone lines. Where was that? Watergate. Even if you weren't born, even if you were a good bit younger than I am, that phrase, that title, that name abides. It became a kind of symbol, an icon of an age. An American president resigned his post in the wake of the hearings that followed. Day after day, there were televised news coverage of Senate hearings and the rest. You remember the phrase, what did he know? And see, now you're giving away your age. I was in high school at the time, and I was coming of age. That was a time for me as I learned what it was to be an American. That was a time maybe I got cynical. Maybe I got more suspicious. Maybe became even more disappointed. I remember feeling differently about flags, about soldiers and politics. Remember feeling differently about my future. Watergate. Kind of a watershed, really. A time when the truth came out. When we all realized together that the emperor has no clothes. When the corrupting power of the power of love, or rather the love of power, right, changed us. There was a public spirit of contrition and brokenness. Something happened, and we could see the failure. We became less. But of course, that's not all that happened in the 1970s. Maybe in a sense, Watergate was a necessary stop along a longer road. A crisis in the same sort of way that a surgery is a crisis. That somehow we could not heal. We could not move on until somebody would just state the obvious, right? Until somehow we would face the problem, that we would confront the breach. I grew up in a time of Watergate. Maybe I couldn't have grown up without it. It opened my eyes, learned something about what we couldn't take for granted, learned to love our land enough to ask the hard questions, enough to take better care, to take more responsibility, realized again that there are no shortcuts to a better way. There are no shortcuts to a better life. So where were you in June of 72? Maybe in a certain sense, we were all in the same place in 539 BC. Could it be that we were there then, too, for another kind of event, there among exiles who were returning from their captivity in Babylon? All these tired people, exhausted and beleaguered, It had been generations since any of them could remember what it was like to worship in the temple. Here they were, just shot and pooped, come back with mud on their feet, dust on everything, just couldn't remember how to keep the traditions, how to observe the feast days. What was the Sabbath again? It was a kind of crisis. A people trying to remember who they were. A people trying to remember what they were. Maybe even remember whose they were. It had been years since any of them had heard that ram's horn raised high and blown loud so all could hear, hearing the call to worship, to come to the temple, come to the assembly where they would have life together. But on that particular day, they all stood at attention, and they all pleaded with the governor Nehemiah to allow Ezra the priest to read from the sacred text that none of them had ever heard before. So they stood for hours while the priest took turns reading line after line, offering comment, offering their understanding. The text, I think, that Donna read says, and they gave the sense of it. They were preaching. And it was a long sermon. In fact, the text says it went from morning till midday. But what happened to the people? As they heard this recitation, as they heard that text brought forth again, it broke their hearts and their world unraveled. They were shocked and shamed and caught by the words. The scrolls rolled over them and they wept. By the way, what was the location? Where were they in the temple complex? At the water gate. They were at the water gate. That place in the city on the east side, well, the pool of Siloam would have emptied all the water that they had. They were at the water gate, the watershed, the crisis of character and identity, a place where they were broken, where they were exposed, where they got busted, right? I think the crying must have alarmed Nehemiah and worried Ezra, must have frightened the priest just a little bit because they demanded that they all stop. So we're going to stop just for a second. So I need, you know, maybe five young volunteers. Kobe will do it. Nathan, you want to do it too? You guys, anybody over here want to help me out? I've got baskets of little tiny scrolls. Scrolls for everybody. So you got to kind of move quickly, move around the room, make sure you give everybody one. Just kind of have to move quickly. Go around and don't even be too polite. Just make sure folks got them, okay? Let's see. Dennis, you just be a kid, would you? All right. Once you get that little scroll, that bit of script, that bit of text, you kind of look at it a second, because what I'm going to have you do is, without any particular order or whatever, maybe you came with somebody, maybe you didn't, but we'll lean over pews, we'll kind of whisper to one another, would you read that to another human being? Just read it. You can whisper it. It could be almost silently. Look in their eye. Grab that little bit of text and maybe take turns, but read it. Read it to another person. Ready, set, go. I see some giggling a little bit, kind of self-conscious. And now, you got your scroll, right? And you've read it. It's done its work. Would you roll it up? Roll up your scroll. You can tuck it. Don't fold it. That's kind of a Western thing, folding. They wouldn't have done that. You roll that up. Maybe that goes in your pocket. It becomes something that will stick with you and stay with you for the day. That's what they heard. Probably in Hebrew. Probably, with a kind of a buzz that we can only imagine. Sometimes people ask, what does the Bible say? I wonder if we would do better to ask, what does the Bible do? as you engaged in that little, well, some would say a gimmick, and maybe it's a little bit playful, yeah, a little exercise we do in church, but was there power in that? Did something happen? Was there an exchange, not only of information, not just ink on a page, but did something happen between you and another person? It is, after all, the stuff of relationship. That's how the text works. It draws us in. It confronts us and it connects us. Oh, the Bible, this wonderful and confounding thing. We have it, and we have it as a gift. It's come from generations before ours. We look over the shoulders of giants to see it, to reverence it, to hear it provoke us again. It brings us to tears. It brings us to laughter. It brings us to life. How did the line go in there? It said something about drink the sweet and eat the fat. Last night, Carla and I went with my sister and my brother and their spouses, and we went out to eat. And Carla figured it out, but between the three of us, it was our 100th wedding anniversary. So you just have to add it all up. So, you know, we went out to this lovely restaurant, and we spent, no kidding, we spent 4 hours at this place. And they kept bringing out stuff and filling our glasses, and I'm still a little bit. But it was this magnificent experience. There in the midst of this water gate, the watershed, being caught, being confronted, being nailed again by God's goodness and by God's grace, we share. Maybe that is the coolest thing of all, that the Bible draws me to you, that the Bible pushes me to you. It pushes us together for relationship, for service, for love, for mission. It's worth keeping. Shall we use it again for another 1,000 years? I think we should.